Guy, are you listening? Are you listening? If you're not listening, then see your life. And of course, I've decided to redirect my podcast to a conversation on Afrobeats, the African genre dominating the global music scene. And as a fan or mshabiki in Swahili, you can expect to hear my take, interviews, and banter on all matters surrounding Afrobeats. And of course, you're listening to the Afro Banter Beats podcast with Bobby Nishimwe. And it is not banter, it is banter. Please, Guy, don't vex me now. All right, hey, Tobias, how are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing well. Hey, man, you know, thank you for coming on to Afro Banta Beats with Bobby himself. You know, I'm speaking right now. Just a pleasure to sort of have you on. And sort of one of the things that I've always wanted to do, so with this new aspect of the podcast that I'm doing, is to get sort of artists and young artists, especially who also have, you know, sort of a foot in the Afrobeat sound, to just learn more about your experience, sort of how you've started with this journey and how it's going so far. So again, thank you so much for coming on. Where is home for you?
Okay, so home for me is Nigeria. I'm originally from a city called Ibadan.
Okay.
And I grew up living between Ibadan and Lagos, which is a city almost everyone knows when you bring up Nigeria.
Yeah.
And then I went to school in Nigeria for a bit. And then when I was 15, my dad was like, "You want to finish your boarding school in Maryland?" I was like, "New experience, you know, I might as well try it out." And came over, and that's been the story ever since.
Got it. And you know what? I had Demi on before you. And I don't know if you're DJ 3004. So crazy. I'm not sure, you know, I just want to let people know that I don't have some sort of bias towards people from Ibadan, Nigeria, but I just happened to get them on.
Hey.
And how was it like sort of being, at least in Nigeria, when you do go back? So what is it like being there, especially now with sort of the emergence of Afrobeats in the world?
It's amazing to see, because not only, like, if you take it back to 4 or 5 years ago, the way Afrobeats has been perceived, or was perceived back then to now, is completely different. Like, I go to clubs here in Chicago and I'm hearing like songs that I wouldn't even expect them to know, and I'm like, all right, that this is a good sign, you know. So going back home is always refreshing, to also stumble upon like newer music, like newer artists that are popping, and then you come back here and then you hear their songs and you're like, all right, yeah, like, okay, that's lit. Like, so this guy's actually legit. If I come home, I hear his songs, and I come here and I start hearing it like different places. So it's been amazing to watch. It's really incredible.
And so, and then how did you get started in sort of music and the music world and that interest? How did that come about to begin
with? It's a funny story. So when I was like 13, 14, I went to boarding school in Nigeria as well. I went to Addis Street College, and I would like drum on the table for my friends to freestyle. Like, I was always the one making beats and stuff. And then one random day, my friend Chimsy, who is also an artist, came up to me and said, "Yo, my cousin made this one beat, like, if you want it." Like, I was like, all right, cool. So I went to the study room. This was during like study hall, and I started writing. And then that night we met up with an older kid, Ben Jay, one of my mentors, and he set us up with a mic and everything. We recorded, and I'm like, yo, this is pretty good. Let's drop it. So we dropped it out, released it to the school, and we had like 500 plus kids. So the fact that everyone was like feeling the song, it kind of gave us like, all right, let's actually like start messing around more. And so like drop tracks and perform. And from there, we just realized like, yo, like, if there wasn't any progress, then we could have stopped. But like, it was like, we kept on improving with every drop, and like, all right, this might be it, guys. Like, you know, this might be our calling. And we haven't looked back ever since.
So you're at a Nigerian boarding school. You're doing beats, you're drumming, all this stuff, and you're making music. Now, is that something that the headmasters were approving of? I mean, how was that with them?
So just the way like a lot of things aren't allowed in boarding school, that wasn't really a thing that we had access to. So it was mostly we would have to like record on the weekends when everyone is out playing sports and the dorms are empty, or late at night, like 2 in the morning, when like security guards are asleep. students are asleep. So it was, we had to like find time to make it work. It wasn't right. like, we never got caught. So I can't even say like, oh, we like, we're going to get in trouble or anything. Right. It was just like, no one even paid attention to us, which was awesome. Cause then we had the freedom to, you know, record and like make noise, but yeah.
And so when was the first time that your parents knew that you were making music?
So I remember how I even started once the whole thing with Chimzy giving me that beat happened. I went back home, I think it was Easter, and my mom had this laptop that she wasn't really using anymore. And my sister had the SingStar microphone for the PlayStation 2. I had a bunch of headphones. So I was like, you know what? Let me like start playing around. I downloaded Audacity, which is a recording software. And I went to hipstrumentals.com. That was like where you could get the beats to like the chart topping songs back then. So I was rapping on Big Sean, Drake beats. And I would like, I had a BlackBerry. So when I was done with the songs, I would export it and send it to my friends on BBM. And my parents were like, Toby, you're so quiet nowadays. Like, what's he up to? What are you doing? And then eventually they found out that like that was what I was using my time for, just like messing around with my mom's laptop. And being from an African home, you know, usually that kind of thing, they would shut it down. Like,
exactly.
Gonna be a doctor, lawyer, you know, main four occupations. But like they initially thought, oh, it's just a phase. You know, every kid has something they pursue when they're younger, you know. But then I started saving up my own money. Any money I would get, it was always spent on music. They were like, all right, this guy's like serious. Like,
yeah.
And they've been supportive, you know. They haven't like, that's why I'm even, what I'm studying in grad school is because my dad believes in my dreams as a musician. So yeah, they're really supportive.
So you say that you, when you were at the boarding school, sort of you started making beats, drums and everything, but you also,
yeah,
you were singing and rapping and all that stuff. So how did you end up deciding, or did you even ever decide of whether you wanted to focus more on making beats or sort of actually being the artist, or you just kind of were like, I'm just gonna explore both? And or did you, have you ever thought of that, whether you want to pursue more of the producing side of, of sort of music, or you want to be the artist, or you just want to intersect the two and make it work?
So initially, me drumming on the table, that was the best I could do. I wasn't savvy with technology. I took piano lessons when I was younger, but I wasn't really paying attention. So like, for me, it was, I just love the vibe of music. So me making beats on the table was just for my friends to vibe with me. But then I started off as a rapper. I just used to rap on Afro beats. And for me, it was like, okay, I'm rapping, but I need to keep elevating, because the people I was looking up to in the industry at the time were doing a lot of like their stuff in-house. So little by little, I'm like, all right, they record themselves. Okay, cool. So who's like their producer, dude? Who can I watch out for? So, and that's the thing with each project I drop, I try to do something new. Like, and so for me, I feel like I don't want to divide the two, because now that I produce a lot of my own stuff, it gives me more freedom in terms of finding the right balance between, all right, so how can I better make my voice sound good with this production, as opposed to someone sending me a beat and I'll have to pivot to match their own energy. You know what I mean? Like,
right,
being in charge of your own production gives you that leeway to, you know, mess around as much as you want. Yeah, so that's why for me, they go hand in hand. I have to do both of them together.
As you were starting out doing music, who sort of on the producing side would you say is your inspiration or was your inspiration?
Okay.
And then who on the artist side would you say is somebody whom you look up to, you either want to emulate, or their sound sort of inspires you? Who would you say on both sides inspires
you? Okay. So for production, I would say 40, Drake's producer. He's the one who like showed me that less is more. And from listening to my music, that's one thing that I can say I try to emulate, is you don't need a bunch of too much like going on in your beats for you to make a good song. Because majority of the time, when there isn't as much elements in there, you can then use your voice to tell your story, to catch people. That's why Drake's music is so good. It's because the production is minimal, but you're still getting the best of his voice and the production together, the relationship. And so yeah, 40 is someone I look up to. I look up to Genio, I look up to GMK. These are all like, they used to be underground when I was younger, but now they started opening up more. They work with Santi. I don't know if you've Cruel Santino. He's dropping an album. Yeah, he's dropping an album this Saturday. I'm so excited. He's one of like the pioneers of the alternative scene in Nigeria. And it's just so great to watch. So from when I was younger, I've been looking up to these guys. And now that I feel like I can hold my own, I'm just like so grateful that I was able to study, you know, how they've like navigated their way in the production realm of the music industry.
Currently, your stage name is Tobias.
Yeah.
But previously, it was known as TITG.
Yeah, yeah.
Could you sort of explain sort of the change and when you decided to make that change and sort of the reason behind it?
Okay. So when I changed schools and I came to Maryland, I was going by TITG. And the thing is, people knew me as that back home, so I didn't have any issues. But when I got here, it was like, yeah, they spelled TITG. They started mispronouncing it like Titga, TITG. Like, and for me, it made me uncomfortable. Like, man, like this is the name I go by, you know, like you guys can't be like butchering my name. So for like 3-4 years, I didn't really care. But then I started working on Diary of a Lover Boy, and I was like, yo, like, this project is so different from all the other bodies of work I've done in terms of now I'm like handling a lot of the production myself. Like the topics I'm touching on are actually like, they're not as, before it used to be like 60% truth and then 50% imagination. Now it's more like 80% truth, you know, like, so I was like, I need a new name, something that like signifies to me a start of a new journey for myself as an artist. So I was like, all right, like people already call me Tobias. So I want to go by Tobias, but I also want to be unique in terms of when you look up my name. So I was like, all right, I make music. Let me look for a format in there that I can attach to my name. I was like, I like wave. Like, music is wavy, wave format. So Tobias Wave, but you're not supposed to pronounce the wave with the name. It's just the format. So it's just Tobias. And that's how I came up with my name.
Got it. So Tobias, where the wave is silent.
Yeah, exactly.
And so I was listening to the various albums that you've released, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you've released 4 albums, correct?
Officially, yeah. I'd say 4, yeah.
And your first project was Astro Femina. First of all, could you talk about sort of why that
name
title for the album?
So Astro is actually an acronym for always seeking the right answers, and then Femina, female, you know, like woman. And for me, that was my freshman year of college, and at that time, I was just starting to get to know women really, you know, I was a lot of interactions with them, and it was starting to like, you know, leak into my music. Now I was actually talking about real people. I wasn't using my imagination as much. And so the whole tape just talks about each song. I don't want to say each song's about a different woman. I don't want people like Playboy or anything, but like, yeah, a bunch of women that
say you're about Demon.
I'm good. Hey, I don't want to. For me, that was one of the projects. I think that's the project I had the most fun making since I started making music, because now I was recording myself, I was mixing myself. I hadn't started producing really at that point, but I was staying up late. Now that I was in college, I had the freedom to make music. So a lot of the songs were made late at night, you know? So yeah.
And I was listening to it, and it very much so feels like you're making it for the ladies in a lot of way. Were some of those songs inspired by, you know, some exes or sort of women you have dealt with, or were you picking up from other people's lived experiences as well?
It was solely mine, and it was for me. Freshman year, I was trying to make more friends, and obviously when you meet someone and you get to know them more, certain things attract you to them. So I was, a lot of the girls I was getting to know at that point, us hanging out together really gave me the inspiration to talk about either stuff that we had talked about or stuff about them that I got to know. And so for example, Passion, the first track on the project, I wrote it, but I had my friend Dara sing it because he had the kind of voice I envisioned for the lyrics and the beat and everything. So, and that song, that's a real person I was talking about. And I had feelings for said person, decided to put it into songs because that's the only way I can really express myself through music. I'm a very reserved person. Yeah. And that's just the vibes, man. Can't even lie.
So how do the ladies feel when they realize that a song you made possibly may have something to do with
So the thing is, I rarely ever tell them, only if at that point in time, I'm like, me and the person are like, you know, we're talking or whatever, we're dating or however you want to put the terms these days. But yeah, I rarely ever, because I don't want any issues, you know, like someone come back to me like, yeah, but yeah. But I haven't had any complaints. Everyone seems to like, even the girls that the songs are about, they don't know, they love the song, so it's cool.
Yeah, you're bulletproof at this point. And I was listening to one of the songs on that album, T.O.O. That was actually one of my favorite ones. Mm-hmm. And there was a portion in there where you actually included, it seemed like a conversation that maybe you were having with someone in the studio.
Yeah.
And I have another friend who's working on a project, and one of my favorite things when I listen to albums is sort of interludes or how they incorporate things that are not necessarily music.
Yeah.
Into sort of the album and the project, sort of how that leads to a certain narrative that they're trying to tell.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you think about incorporating sounds like that into your music? And when do you choose to incorporate it? Is it a thing of trying to bring on a certain narrative, or you just kind of, if something just comes to mind, just kind of put it in there? Or do you intentionally think about incorporating those sounds that are not really music in it?
So for me, it's when it calls for that action, you know what I mean? For example, I'm working on a project right now that I hope to drop later in the summer. And there's a song on there where, as it starts, it's just a conversation. I was in a studio with a bunch of my friends and invited some folks over. And while I was testing out the mic, I was recording the ambience of the room, and they were talking about like some them drinking wine during quarantine, like all that. And the song I was actually set to record talks about a girl that face value, she looks like she's a saint, you know, but obviously she likes to have a good time. Yeah. So I was like, yo, like that kind of goes together with what I'm about to record. Let me leave it in there. So for the first like 17 seconds of the song, it's just them talking, and it's a funny conversation, you know?
Yeah.
So for me, it's like, if it speaks to me, then because I've learned that from the people I look up to, like Drake does it, you know, Party Next Door does it, who else? So for me, it's like, I want people to be immersed in the experience, you know, it adds to the vibes of the music. And so that's pretty much what, for me, it's as I feel it, as the spirit leads, as they say.
There's no issues with that. Thank God for leading us in all the things that we do. And then, so in 2018, you had an EP called Beast in the Night, and you also dropped another, as part two, I guess, Beast in the Night. I believe that was in 2020. What is Beast in the Night? What does that signify?
For me, it was because a lot of the music I was writing and recording I was doing was in the wee hours of the morning. That's when I tend to be able to be at my best creatively, you know? So, and my friends are like, yo, like, you know, like Toby, you make this good music. You're so quiet, but like you are actually a different person when it comes to your music. I was like, yeah, I know. And I was like, I really want to work on a project that embodies that, like, you know, that persona. So I was like, you know, Beast in the Night, like it kind of makes sense. And from the songs, even the first track on that project is called Beast in the Night, because it kind of also relates to the kind of, I don't want to cause any rifts here, but kind of women, a lot of guys, a lot of girls want, you know? So I was like, you know what, let me write a song that talks about, I've had a situation with that, so I might as well put it to paper and get to recording. And so that was how that happened. Yeah.
Angel during that day, Beast in the Night. The duality.
Exactly. Oh, man.
Well, that's amazing to hear. And then you dropped one in 2021 called hashtag, is that Damn Tobias?
Yeah, Damn
Tobias. I believe there's actually a song. There's actually, there's a, I don't know if it's the first song, but where there's a girl who says, damn, Tobias.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that like your catchphrase?
Yeah, that's my tag. Yeah, that's my producer.
That's your tag.
Yeah, yeah. So whenever you hear that, just know I produced her. I produced it, or I produced it with someone else, but I mainly handled the production. So yeah, so anywhere you hear damn, Tobias, just know I touched that beat.
And what was the inspiration behind that album?
It was me, because as I said earlier, I started off as a rapper, but then I had to teach myself how to be able to sing decently enough that technology can help me. I'm not going to come here and say I'm a singer. Like, I'm not a singer, but I've been able to train my voice to a good enough level to make it sound good, you know? So people were like, yo, bro, we need you to rap more. Nah, bro, we need you to sing more. And I was like, all right, can I just do two of them together in a project? So
right.
I was like, you know what? Let me produce, let me sing, let me rap. And I was like, all right, Damn Tobias would be a fitting name because that's the name of my tag. And the fact that I'm putting all my different experiences as a producer, rapper, singer into one body of work.
How do you go about choosing who to collaborate with? Because, you know, I was actually speaking to my friend, again, who's doing a project, and a lot of times they would keep talking about, you know, just people reaching out to them just because they know they do music, they want to collaborate on a project. And before I ask this, have you ever had somebody reach out to you to collaborate and you didn't like their sound and you had to reject them? Has that ever happened before?
Yeah, but, and that's the thing, that it's very hard to say no, because as someone who is up and coming as well, like, being rejected is not the best feeling ever. But then you also have to remember that, like, whatever you're doing has to be, you can't let it be detrimental to your brand as an artist, whoever you're affiliating with, who you're working with. Like, yeah, the artist might have good intentions, but if their sound is not where yours is yet, more times than not, I'd be like, yo, the song is hard, but that's not really my vibe right now, which is me being honest. That's the first thing. As long as you're honest, you can't just be ghosting people. That's like disrespectful.
Exactly. Yeah.
So if many times that's happened, I'd be like, yo, bro, like, I really like the song, but I'm not really on that vibe right now, you know, but I wish you the best of luck, you know, like, that's how, like, I would handle it myself. But I don't want to speak for other musicians, because that's not my business. But yeah, pretty much.
Then how do you go about choosing who to collaborate with? What are the things that you have to think about first before you make that decision?
First of all, because a lot of the people I work with, I get to know them from my connections with other people. So if said guy is friends with one of my close friends, I already know, all right, this guy's legit. They've already passed that test. So it's now like, all right, what kind of music does he make that I make that we can relate to? And from there, we like do it one song. It's all right, okay, solid. All right, so anytime I have a song that I can hear this person on, that's the first person I send it to. Like, yo, bro, can I get a verse? Or, like, what do you think? Would you be down to, you know, hop on this song? We do additional vocals or whatever. So for me, it's based off the vibes. Like, if we have chemistry from the 1, 2, 3 tracks we've done, I'm always gonna find a way to put you on my projects whenever, like, you know, the opportunity arises.
And then another thing I wanted to talk about, as I was listening to some of your projects, I noticed that starting in the 2017 one, Astro Femina, I felt like as if you got a little bit more Afrobeats as time went on, at least me listening to it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Was that an intentional thing? And why go towards that trajectory of doing more Afrobeats sounding songs?
I decided to do that because for the longest time, I kind of shied away from making Afrobeats, because for me, I was like, oh, everybody does it. Like, it's getting popular. I don't want to, you know, I'm African. It's always going to be in my blood, especially as a musician. Afrobeats, I'll always be able to make it. But like, am I really pushing myself?
Mm-hmm.
So I then came to a realization after learning from studying a bunch of artists who are making Afrobeats, but like in a whole different twist, like Gabzy. Gabzy's Afrobeats is more Afro R&B, if anything.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, we talk about the same things. So why not, like, why can't I bring my experiences and lay them over a chill Afro-inspired track, you know? So once I figured out, like, that formula, I was like, all right, cool. Like, this is what I'm going to start doing from now. Obviously, I'm still going to make, like, straight R&B songs. I'm still going to try and rap when I can. But my main focus now is just, like, creating vibes that people can like turn on when they're in their feelings or when they're kickback, pregame, you know, like for the ladies, you know, that's like, that's just pretty much, yeah, you know.
And then when you make music, how do you go about deciding as whether something that you just worked on, like this is, and maybe I don't want to say perfect, but this is ready to go. Like it's ready to be put on the album. It's ready to be released. Yeah. What is that process like for you?
So okay, let me break it down. I walk into my room and I'm like, all right, I'm going to make a song. I start making the beat. Okay. And then I don't try to finish up a beat before I record, because I feel like when you've laid out vocals, you can now like see what kind of elements will go well with your voice. So I like make the beat like up to like maybe like 60% and then start like recording. Usually I wouldn't write first. I just hop on the mic and find a vibe and then write. And then once I do that, I record, I start mixing, and then I send the beat off to my friend Chime, who is my longtime collaborator. He'll add like other elements into the song and send it back. And then I now mix and master. And when I know a song is done is when I'm listening to it over and over and over and over again. I'm like, yo, this is, I'm like, all right, yeah, this is definitely ready to go. Yeah. So I send it to my group chat that I have with like trusted people. And they like give me ideas. All right, so this is when I think you should drop this based off the vibe. And from there, I just like, man, it's ready to go. But when I'm working on like my projects, I try to like store the songs as I'm making them and then send it to my friends as a body of work so they can digest it better.
Got it. And do you have some friends that are a lot more critical or harsher than others, or do they all usually just give the same feedback?
It depends. Like, for example, I already know I'm not going to send any songs out to anyone if I'm not confident in the song, you know, like that's usually like I record something in a hurry, like send it out. But as I grew older, I was like, all right, let me start trusting myself more. I'm mainly doing this for me to share with people. So if I'm not happy, I don't expect other people to be happy, you know? So some of my friends would give me like, yo bro, I know you can do better than that. Like, this is too predictable. All right, why don't you try this? Some friends would be like, ah, yeah, it's okay. And once I hear that, it's okay, yeah, I already know. All right,
maybe. Cool.
Because when they're like, yo, or like, yeah, then you can just tell, you know, like, all right, yeah, that's the one, it's ready to fly.
And then have you done some performance? I know with COVID and everything, things have been difficult, but it's performance. Is that something that you've done or that you have started to do?
Yeah. Since I was in boarding school in Nigeria, I've always prom nights, I was always performing and stuff. So the last show I did, I have a show coming up this Thursday actually, but the last one I did was in 2019. That was right before COVID hit. So I like performing. It gives me a chance to interact with the crowd, get a gauge of, you know, because listening to music by yourself and listening to it on speakers in front of people is two completely different things, you know. So being able to entertain people while feeling good about them liking the music is always a good interaction for me.
That's amazing, man. You know, one of the things that there's a friend of mine, and I've seen him sort of perform, and it was the first time I ever saw him perform, and years have went by and they always invite me to go see the performances, but for some reason I just could never make it. I don't know why I wasn't able to. And finally I did, and I was like, wow, I could feel every single thing.
Yeah, it's an unmatched feeling. And the thing is, as an artist, when you get on stage, you know, your stomach starts feeling weird. You're like, can we do this? But then that's why the vibe of the crowd is always important. Like, people need to understand that, like, if you're not going to give your all to the person that's standing in front of you, don't stand in the front row, because that's where we look first, you know? Mm. Like, I've had a bunch of shows where, like, I'm performing, my friends are in the section, I'm seeing them, then I just glance my eyes over and I make eye contact with somebody that's not feeling the vibes. And that kills me. I'm like, I'm getting nervous. I'm
get like, out of here, man. Yeah, like, get out of here.
Like, literally, like, if you're not here to vibe, like, don't stand in front of me. Put to the back.
Yeah. No, that is so true. And so, sir, as we're wrapping up, I wanted to ask you just a few questions about Afrobeats, you know, some music.
Yeah.
And the first thing, and I asked this of my last guest as well. In 2021, what would you say was your song, your Afrobeats song of the summer? Or which one was the industry song of the summer?
2021.
This past summer.
Because I don't listen to music in timelines. I'm always listening to music.
Okay, so I'll give you some options.
Okay.
Essence by Wizkid and Tems. Okay. And Peru by Fireboy DML. I feel like that was one of them. And then, well, I was gonna say I did Coolness High with Davido, but that was, I feel like that came a little bit later.
That was more
club vibes. That was more.
Man, that vibes. Song is so good. I risk that song up to like, cause for me, I usually find an Afrobeat song that I like. Cause I don't.
Yeah.
Funny enough, I make Afrobeats, but I don't listen to it as much because I also don't want to like, you know, I don't want to be influenced by too many different people. So. Like once High was kind of fading out for me, Baddest Boy, the remix.
Yes, Baddest with Davido.
Every morning I rinse that song when I'm getting ready to start my day. Like that song is so addictive.
I was listening to it today. I listened to it probably twice today.
Man, but definitely I would say High and Peru as well. That song.
Yeah.
At first I wasn't like, I heard it, I was like, ah, it's okay. Yeah. Then, you know, when you got the drinks flowing, you're feeling good.
Fireboy is, you know what, I started listening to him, what album was it? There was an album where I think in the cover it's like a blue background.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can't remember the name of that album. It's where he I think it was his first album, but I listened to him and you know what, I thought he had a unique sound in the Afrobeats lane at that time. That was very much so different, even with like Adekunle Gold. Like I always think like Adekunle Gold has his own vibe, which I feel like some younger people are now also trying to pick up.
I
feel like for a very long time, he had his own sort of lane, just a different vibe. And I feel like those kind of people, honestly, I feel like they're the ones that kind of bring sort of the alternative Afrobeats and popularize it. They make it mainstream. Because it's not the normal Burna Boy, Wizkid, and Davido, but they're doing something that's a little bit alternative, it's a little bit different, but they really find a way to make it mainstream. And so do you get inspiration from sort of these other artists who don't just do sort of what the normal Afrobeat sound, but
For sure.
Bring a little bit of alternative sound to it as well, that gives it its own unique vibe?
I would say, for example, Gabzy, number one, he's a good songwriter. He has a great voice.
I have to listen to him.
G-A-B-Y-Z. No, Z-Y. G-A-B-Z-Y. Gabzy, you would love his music. Santi is another artist that, because Santi is the reason why I realized that I can't put myself in a box. Santi makes Afrobeats. He makes alternative music. He makes rap music. Like, you know, it's just trap, like, being able to touch different corners of music just gives you more of a better look as an artist, because then, you know, you can get features on any track you want with anybody, you know. So I'll say, who else? Davido, like, even though like for me, it's the energy Davido brings that inspires me, you know. Like, I've never seen someone with so much good vibes just embodied in one person. You watch his stories, you're smiling.
His videos, literally, his posts. You know?
So for sure.
And you know what? Speaking of Davido, I was walking with my friend, we were coming from a store, and we were just talking about Baddest Boy. We actually just talked about that song and how Davido hopped on it. And I turned around and went to a friend. I was like, you know, I think Davido is probably the best Afrobeats feature artist. Because when he hops on something, it just blows up. But he also hops on like everything. I mean, there's probably every African artist out there has probably had a feature with Davido. Mm-hmm. But he really does it so well. And even with American artists as well. Yeah. I mean, Wizkid's features are amazing, but Wizkid is I feel like he's a lot more pickier.
Yeah,
He doesn't hop on features.
Yeah, even Burna Boy as well. Yeah. And I guess that's why a lot of people always associate Davido with good vibes, because if he hears a song that's good and he knows that artist needs that platform to get his music popping, he'll pop on the song, no problem. Odunsi the Engine has a song with Davido.
Yeah.
I remember when that song came out, I was like, wow, like, he hopped on this song, because back then, you know, the alternative music in Nigeria was starting to get a lot more noise, and Davido hopped on it. I was like, all right, we're definitely doing something right. And it's amazing to see.
And so talking about alternative sounds in sort of the African music scene, I asked my the other person I interviewed about this question, Demi, had asked him, Afrobeats or I'm a Piano, which one would you choose? I feel like I know which one you're gonna choose, but which one would you choose with versus the two genres?
I know when people hear this, they're gonna be like, ah, this guy. But like Afrobeats, I'm a Piano, it's cool, like it's calm, like I love the vibe, right? I love everything about it, but like Afrobeats is just broader, you know, like there's just more in that umbrella, in that bowl.
More expensive.
Yeah, exactly. So, but don't get me wrong, I love my Piano. Like, I have to go Afrobeats all day.
And then actually, I'm gonna give you three people, and I want you to choose who you like the most.
Yeah.
Last time I did just these two guys. So Wizkid, Burna Boy, or Davido. Last time I forgot to bring in Davido into that conversation.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry to all my Davido fans. Please forgive me, but
yeah,
I think those three should be put on a level to be fully compared with each other.
Okay. So who do I? What was the question?
Who would you pick from the three in terms of who you think is the best out of the three?
Yeah. I'd say Burna Boy.
Yeah.
And not because Burna Boy has always been one of my favorites since I was little. Mm-hmm. I used to get my hair cut like him back then and stuff. But like, it was just something about his voice is so rich. The way he like, cause he's, I don't know, I can't explain it. But when you listen to his music, like, It gives you this rush, like for me, and that takes skill, that's talent, you know, being able to use your voice as a tool like that, you know. He's done house music with all these house musicians. Yeah. He has helped on some artists. I'm like, how did he even get Burna Boy on the song? Like Coldplay, like how, you know? So like for me, he's the best out of three. But like they're pretty much so like almost at par. It's just that when you really go into analyzing it, there's pros and cons to each of the artists, but that's the thing, it's subjective to whoever you're asking. I personally would say Burna Boy.
And then it's gonna be my last one in terms of speed questions. Ira Starr or Tems? I know one is older than the other, but I think their vocals, or at least their sounds, are very similar.
Yeah.
Who's like your favorite out of the two?
I'd say Tems.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just something about her music makes me smile. Like even like her more emotional songs, you know, it makes me, but both of them very exceptional musicians, artists, songwriters. But I think Tems, also she was on CLB, like Fountain, that song is a banger, you know, like, man. So yeah, I would definitely say Tems.
And then sort of, I was wondering, what are you looking forward to on this journey of yours with music and producing? So what are your next goals and what are you looking forward to in the future?
So right now, in terms of my goals, I really want to finish up. I'm working on the sequel to Diary of a Lover Boy. So now it's going to be a longer, it's going to be more tracks.
Yeah.
And it's going to be strictly Afro R&B. So right now I'm in the recording process. I'm still like finishing up some songs, and I'm trying to graduate. I'm about to be done my master's program so I can start to work. I want to work in the music industry, not just as an artist, but like the business side of things. So just like it's a mix of everything, like this adulting situation starting to feel real, you know. But short term to finish Diary of a Lover Boy 2 to put it out this summer. Long term, you know, graduate and start out, because I really want to help artists in the music industry. Being a producer, singer, rapper, I've been able to, you know, gain a lot of knowledge from all those three different roles that I feel like I would be a good asset to any up and coming artist that wants to make it in the industry.
I also want people to listen to your new, you just dropped a new single called Time Away, I believe, correct?
Yep.
Yeah, so definitely people should go and check that out. And right as we're in it, could you just talk about sort of the inspiration behind that? And also, why did you decide to drop it at this moment while we're about to go into World War III? Why did you decide that this was the right time?
To be honest, I recorded that song maybe like a month ago, and I put a snippet on Instagram. People were like, yo, this is good, blah, blah, blah. All right, you know what? It's going to be on the project. I don't want to drop it. But then I got, for me also, like when I feel like it's time, I just feel, I'm like, yo, I need to put it out. I haven't dropped since September. Mm. So I already picked the date. I already sent it out for release. And then the Ukraine thing happened. Like, it got a lot more serious.
Right.
And I was like, oh, man, it's kind of too late. But then that's why I haven't pushed it as much as I should, because I want to be, you know, respectful. Like, this is not the time to be, like, trying to get people to be, you know, it's not the right time. And as an artist, you need to know that, you know.
Right.
But, yeah, I people are still feeling it. It's about to get warm soon. So hopefully everything ties together nicely. God.
And people are going to spring break. So time away to cool down and relax. Hey, man, Tobias, thank you so much for coming on to Afro Banta Beats.
Thank you.
Like, it's been a pleasure interviewing you and learning more about your journey. And I think sort of the listeners will at least get some more insight into sort of your journey and just the things that you've done and just your creative process. And that is one thing I've always said, I envy artists, musicians. I just envy them so much because I can't sing, I can't rap, I can't produce music, I can't make beats. But
man, it's never too late.
I just love what y'all do and the fact that you're able to make all of these sort of creative sort of sounds, but also be confident enough to release it. I always tell people, like, that takes a huge step for something that was in your mind, right, in your thought, and then you want to bring some melodies into it, and then you just want to put it out there into the internet, and whoever likes it, whoever hates it.
That's the game.
That takes a lot for you all to be doing that. But, you know, I'm appreciative that you and other creatives do that kind of work, because it gives us something to look forward to and to just think outside of all the problems that we deal with in life. And so thank you so much for coming on to Afro Banta Beats.
Thank you for having me, Bobby. I appreciate it.